Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Save $200 when you put in code word HOWIE3. Sale is just for this week only and while supplies last. Order at EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. All right, I think we spent a decent amount of time today going over the Biden CNN town hall, but there are a few moments that I think are worth replaying for all of you. One of them in particular is Joe Biden. Do you remember the G7? Joe Biden, and actually my dad pointed this out to me, and I thought it was a very, very legitimate observation. When Trump was president, he was making trips everywhere all the time. It was very rare that he'd be in the same place for, you know, more than a week or so. He was always on Air Force One, going here, going there, going everywhere. The guy made like 6 stops a day to different places, sometimes different countries, and it was always no big deal. That was part of the job. Nobody made mention of it. All they cared about was like, is he eating McDonald's on Air Force One? What's he watching? Is he watching Fox News? Joe Biden has had he's had a few trips, but by no means in his 6 months has he taken a lot of trips. Most of his trips just involve him going back home for the weekend to Delaware. So he's talking about this G7 summit all the time because it's like his big trip of the decade. You know, he's one of those guys who goes to Europe and talks about it for the rest of his life. Like every story goes, well, when I was at the G7, you remember that, guys? It's like he's talking about his college years with all his friends. You remember? Oh, Merkel, you remember. You were there, Angela. You remember that. It gets kind of sad. You're like, is anything else going on? Have you done anything? What have you done for me lately, Joe? And so he keeps harking back to this G7. And something I want to remind you of is at the G7, it got a lot of play because of how strange it was. It was like 7 of these leaders up on a stage. Joe was bringing in the caboose. He was at the very back, not talking to anyone, just kind of stumbling around in his robotic fashion, you know, lost, dazed and confused. And no one was really talking to him. And then at one point he wandered into a cafeteria or a lunchroom or something, and Jill kind of wrangled him back in. It wasn't great. He didn't seem on his A game. And actually, the biggest takeaway was towards the end of the trip in Geneva when he yelled at Caitlin Collins. But the whole G7 was kind of a PR disaster. But not if you ask Joe. According to Joe, he is the Fonz. He walks into these things and it's like, America is back, baby. And then he throws on his Ray-Bans and he flips up the collar of his leather coat, and he's just the coolest guy in the room. So let's listen to Joe Biden reminisce about the G7. And keep in mind, he's got to throw in the qualifier. So keep your ears perked for things like, my word is a Biden, I'm serious, I mean it. Those are all going to be sprinkled throughout this memory. Cut 14.
But folks, the rest of the world's wondering about us. Those of you who travel abroad, not a joke, not a joke. You asked, you know, when I went to this G7, all the major democracies, I walked in and I know a lot of them because of my role in the past. And they walk in and I said, America's back. And they go, I'm serious, heads of state, I give you my word as a Biden. I said, are you really back? I mean, how can I, we believe you, Joe, but will the country ever get it together?
He is such an America hater. He is such a self-hating American. America's back. Are they really, Joe? God, when Trump was in there, he just commanded the room. Those people were afraid because they knew he was going to make them pay up. And Joe Biden walks in, America's back. And they're probably going, sir, this is a Wendy's. Where are you supposed to be? I said, America's back. No, really, sir. Who can we call? We're nervous. It's such a joke. And then he had to say, he said this cut, let's do 15.
I talked to Xi Jinping in China, who I know well. We don't agree on a lot of things. He's a bright and really tough guy.
Why do I get the sense they do agree on a lot of things? Do you ever get that sense? I wonder if they're going back and forth. Is China eating our lunch? Are they not eating our lunch? They were eating our lunch yesterday. But I get the sense that they do agree on quite a lot. And I'm glad he brought up Xi Jinping because Hunter Biden is also in the news. And Hunter Biden, the author of the laptop treasure trove and also a biography, a memoir. And he's an artist and he's a locomotive expert. And as Jared pointed out earlier, he's trying to unionize prostitutes.
I probably smoke more Parmesan cheese than anyone.
He's a cheese connoisseur. What can't this guy do? But he famously, or infamously, you might say, referred to what a lot of people assume is Joe in an email as the big guy. And unfortunately for Don Lemon, he had a little slip of the tongue, and he too referred to Joe Biden as the big guy, cut 25.
You've been the big guy for 6 months now in the White House. Can you take us behind the scenes, something that was extraordinary or unusual that happened that stands out to you?
Joe's like, well, one day I got out of the shower and my dog was walking by and I went to grab his tail. There has been some extraordinary things. They're just nothing you'd want to tell Don Lemon or CNN because it wouldn't play well with the audience. There has been some moments, I'm sure, where your dogs were biting people, you know, where you were two and a half hours late for things. You didn't come down to meet leaders. You let Kamala Harris go out and meet them. There are definitely, there's some palace intrigue. It's just there's no one who's intrigued by it anymore. That's the only thing. But I'm glad they brought up the big guy because that got me thinking, what's going on with Hunter? What is Hunter up to? Well, I have news for you. Hunter Biden will reportedly meet with prospective buyers of his art. If you aren't aware of this, first of all, keep up because you need to keep up with the art scene. Hunter Biden is an artiste. And what he does, he's new at this, but his paintings are being valued at $500,000, which is pretty good for an amateur. He's new at this. He takes metal straws and he blows ink through them. And what comes out are like concentric circles onto canvas. And that, to some, is worth $500,000. You know, it is what it is. But the White House was in a jam because obviously Hunter needs to make money. The Barack Obama rule of at a certain point, you've made enough money does not apply to the Bidens. And so Hunter wants to sell his art. You know, he's not, I don't think he plans on donating his art salary to charity. I think he's going to keep the proceeds based off what I've heard. And so first son Hunter Biden is expected to meet with prospective buyers at shows carrying his artwork later this year in New York and Los Angeles, raising new ethical concerns about influence peddling tied to the sales. Now, you'll remember the White House specifically said that they were going to keep the identities of the potential buyers secret. And I thought they were being truthful. Either there's no way this is going to go wrong. This sounds like a foolproof plan. Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, the Biden administration, secret art deals, hidden identities. What could possibly go wrong? Well, it turns out President Biden's son is expected to appear at a private affair in Los Angeles in a larger show in the Big Apple. George Berg's gallery spokeswoman Robin Davis told CBS, he's looking forward to it. Oh, this is Robin Davis. She's the art lady. He's looking forward to it. It is like someone debuting in the world. And of course, he will be there. It's like a debutante ball for artists, for young Picassos.
It's open art night.
It's so insane. And this idea that we thought this wasn't going to happen, like we all knew, you know. And you know what I wish? Let me just throw this in really quick because the CNN town hall, I was actually going to do this as a segment, but this show has been so jam-packed. I was going to say, what question, if you got one question, you know, if you slipped through the cracks at CNN and they accidentally let you on, what would you ask? And I know what I would ask. They would say, this is, I'd have to give a fake name, right? I couldn't give my real name. So maybe it would be like Gier Delecto. And they would say, she's a Democrat NPR listener who works in holistic healing. And she has a question for you, Joe Biden. And I would say, Mr. Biden or President Biden, when Donald Trump was president for 4 years, he donated his salary to different charitable organizations. Are you donating your salary to charity, or are you keeping your salary? What's happening with your money? Are you keeping it, or are you giving it away like Donald Trump did? Because Donald Trump gave his money away. He didn't keep it. And I would just keep repeating that over and over. And I'll tell you what would happen, because Joe Biden is such a smug guy. He would lie. He would lie and say, I'm not keeping it. And then they'd have to fact check that, because that would be such a whopper of a lie. Unless maybe he is giving it away. But I have a feeling if he was giving away, we'd have heard about it by now. It would be like the toast of the town.
He's got stock in Jenny's ice cream. That's where his salary goes.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Robert, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, Grace, earlier you said something about the government, you know, we should thank the government for keeping small business open. Not for nothing, but that's crazy contradictive, because it's small business and business that keeps the government open, literally.
Exactly.
I mean, they don't generate a freaking nickel. And the other thing is, I wanted to say, as far as Hunter Biden with his straws, so he's blowing ink out of a straw, making money, and then buying stuff to put back up the straw. Is that how he does it? Is that how he gets the coke there? That's how he gets his money for it?
And no. He's blowing ink out of the straws. But what I will say is, you make a good point about taxpayer money. There's this whole narrative with the left that, like, they're giving us this money. Like, they made the money and they're giving it to us, and we should be so thankful. But it's our money. Here's a deal I'd like to make, okay, with Big Brother and Joe Biden. You don't have to give me any money. You don't have to give me any, you know, any of these perks or credits, whatever you want to call them. Just don't touch my money, you know? Just leave my money. Imagine for working people what that would do if it was like, you don't need to give me anything. Just don't touch the money I'm making. We'd all be rich. We actually might all be millionaires, and they could throw us in the millionaires' tax bracket. But that's not going to happen. They like to touch our money and then take our money and then say, you should be so happy. We're giving you so much money. If you want to know who kept restaurants open, it's not Joe Biden. Find a mirror and look in it. We'll be right back on the other side. We got a lot to talk about. And actually, we have Mark Salinas, our legal expert, our attorney, and he's going to come on and talk to us about some of this social media censorship. Eden Pure is extending the Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack offer for 1 week only. I'm going to hold it up here. You can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack. You'll get 3 units for under $200 and save $200. Jared, tell people why they probably want 3 units, not just one.
Well, you're going to want it because now that we can open our windows again, you're going to want the windows open, and that means the pollen's going to come in. And if you're driving to work, you're going to have the windows down, which means the pollen's going to come in. But the thunderstorm, whether it's in your car, in your house, whatever, you just plug it in and turn it on, and it ionizes the air around you. It gets rid of the pollen. It gets rid of the allergens, pollutants, all the nasty stuff in the air that you don't want to be breathing. You want one in your home, you want one in your basement to get rid of that musty smell, and you want one in your car, and they do work in your car because you just plug it into there's a little cable that plugs into the USB port, and bam, you got fresh air everywhere you go.
Yeah, and the best part is you don't have to replace any air filters, which of course saves you time and money. Other air purifiers can cost up to $600 for just one unit, not this. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, and use code word GRACE3. The 3-pack special ends this week. By the way, I just went online and I typed in, will Biden donate his presidential salary to charity, just to see what the answer would be? And the first response, is this person who writes, it's irrelevant, really. It's irrelevant, really. Trump made a big deal out of doing that because he needed the positive press. Oh, Well, yeah, that's true.
Come on, man. Biden
definitely doesn't need the positive press. You're right about that. We'll be right back on the other side with Mark Salinas. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
844-500-4242. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm very excited to have Mark Salinas with us, an attorney from Silva & Salinas. Mark, thank you so much for joining the show yet again. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Great show today, Grace.
Thank you so much. All right, Mark. So my first question for you has to do, once again, with Trump's social media lawsuit, because it seems like as time goes on, we should all be really invested in this as the White House. There, you know, social media is done with just cracking down on Trump. They want to crack down on all of the credulous boomer rubes. But there was an interesting story today in Newsweek, and it said, Trump's social media lawsuit includes constitutional challenge to Section 230. Can you kind of explain to everybody what Section 230 is and why this is different and it's a constitutional challenge?
Absolutely. Section 230 is part of the Communications Decency Act. This is something that was passed in 1996 when the internet was kind of just getting off the ground. And the interesting part about this is it shields content providers like Facebook and Twitter from any type of liability for the content that they put on and the content that they take down. And what's happened is that Donald Trump is saying that the times that we live in now, you know, the world has outgrown that and that they should have responsibility and accountability to the people when they do things that are essentially violating people's constitutional rights. And that's what Donald Trump has said in his lawsuit, even though it's getting a lot of criticism.
Now, I have a question about this flagging of disinformation. Jen Psaki was very open about the fact that the Biden White House is, I'm going to use the word, colluding with big tech to kind of give them a heads up about information they think could be false or misleading. Now, when you take somebody like, let's say, Dr. Scott Atlas or someone medical, there was a lot of scientists and medical experts who spoke out against some of these lockdown procedures and some of these mask requirements. And a lot of those people, Mark, they were either deplatformed or they were censored or they were kind of attacked, their reputations were attacked for their opinions that were labeled disinformation that now, lo and behold, a few months later, have turned out to be very well-founded opinions. Do they have any sort of case to go back and say, where do I go to get my reputation back?
Well, that's what Donald Trump is trying to do in his lawsuit. He's saying, look, my First Amendment rights are being violated. The biggest challenge and what's been the biggest source of criticism in Donald Trump's lawsuit is they're saying you can't get in trouble for censoring speech unless you're the government. And what Donald Trump is trying to do is say that Facebook and Twitter are basically government actors. Now, when Joe Biden came out this week and said, I think it was last week, and said, well, you know, Facebook is killing people, Jen Psaki tried to walk this back. And interestingly, in her damage control efforts, she said, well, you know what? The White House is regularly in touch with social media platforms to ensure only the correct narratives are being promoted. Well, it's almost giving the lawsuit credit right there by their admitting that what they're doing is that they are putting pressure on Facebook and on Twitter to push out only certain narratives and, to your point, take down the voices of people whom they don't agree with. And the end result of that is it's making the argument for Donald Trump and everybody else that's saying that now Facebook is just an extension of the federal government, and they are government actors, and they should be held responsible for censoring speech.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of times, too, Jen Psaki will say in the same breath almost, listen, they're a private company, and then also it's a public platform, so we need to be able to monitor it. And you do get to a point where, while those things might be true, they do start to kind of contradict each other, where if it's a public platform and you have every right to censor it, then maybe the private company rules shouldn't be applying here. Mark, where can people find you online if they want to check out your law firm?
We're up in North Andover, SilvaSalinas.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mark. We'll be back, guys. We're going to talk about Dr. Fauci, gain of function, and so much more. 844-500-4242.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
844-500-4242. Let's do the poll question really quick before we get into some of this potential remasking. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more on how to get your property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Did your favorite restaurant survive the pandemic?
No. My absolute favorite spot with the best espresso ice cream you'd ever have, Jared, with biscottis put in the ice cream, homemade biscottis. No, it did not survive.
55% of the audience says yes, their favorite restaurant did survive.
Well, send a thank you fruit basket to Joe Biden, please, because he kept you open. And now he's thinking about shutting you down again. No. There's rumors out there, and Howie and I have been talking about this all day. There's rumors out there that the Biden administration is mulling over the idea of bringing back the mask mandates. Jen Psaki was asked about it this afternoon, and she once again played word games. You can't nail her down on anything. She said, well, we're not the CDC. And Peter Ducey said, well, people just want to know. Well, don't they want to know if it's, you know, the spokesperson and not the CDC? You get what I'm saying. You circle, 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 circle around. Nothing gets accomplished. But what's interesting is I was just talking to Howie about this and I said, you know, she wouldn't say. And I think it's because she doesn't want this to be on the Biden administration. She wants the CDC to say it first and them to say, we support the CDC. We follow the science. But Howie thinks that they floated it out as a trial balloon today and the response has been so negative that now they're going to back away from it. And what's interesting is, you know, what was that famous expression? If I've lost Walter Cronkite, I've lost America or something like that. Well, if you've lost Bill de Blasio, you've lost the Moonbats, because Bill de Blasio is saying no to the indoor mask mandate. And he's saying it's not needed despite the Delta variant, which is insane, especially because Bill de Blasio is coming to the end of his run. So if he were ever going to be his full progressive Looney Tune self, it would be right now. He has nothing to lose. But he's had this strange moment of clarity. Let's play some of this de Blasio.
52 yes. million healthcare workers in the United States, and by the information we have, only about 50% are vaccinated. This is unacceptable. I feel for people, of course, who have gone through the pain of this tragedy, who are feeling fearful. I understand why a lot of people are hearing misinformation and being affected by it, mm-hmm. but enough is enough. We need our healthcare workers to be vaccinated, and it's getting dangerous with the Delta variant.
Does he have any comments on the masks? Let's play that.
Look, I respect the importance of masks, but if we want to make a comparison, you know, a mask is a pea shooter and the vaccine is a cannon. You know, let's be clear. The thing that will make a difference is the vaccine, the thing that stops the Delta variant. The thing that turns the tide and saves lives is the vaccine. The mask helps, but there's no guarantee with a mask. So what our doctors say is, let's go for the main event here, not the sideshow. Let's really double down on vaccination. We'll continue to look at every option depending on what happens. But what I don't want is to give people false sense of security. Oh, I'm wearing a mask, so I'm okay, even though I'm unvaccinated. That's just not true.
I agree with him. You know, at this point, the people who desperately want the mask back, and I just typed it in on my Twitter. I said mask mandate, and the first thing came up was from some nut who said, please, Joe Biden, will you finally bring the mask mandate back? All the science points in this direction. Those people, which I think make up a very small percentage of our population, are insane. You know, there's you can't play to that insane audience of dead enders. You just can't, because most people hate these masks. Now, it's coming out right now on Fox that CDC is likely to urge kids mask up in schools. That's going to be a whole nother fight. We'll take calls on this, 844-500-4242. But the piece that I really want to read here has to do with Dr. Fauci. I found this very interesting. It's a piece from The Nation. And I first want to play Rand Paul discussing Fauci's relationship with gain-of-function research. Let's do cut 16.
But you also have to place this in context. Since 2012, he has said repeatedly that, yes, an accident can happen, but the research is worth it. Even if an accident were to cause a worldwide pandemic, the research is worth it. That judgment call is something that most Americans or people who have family members of the 4 million people who died would say, you know what, maybe that research isn't working if this contagion actually came out of a lab where they're doing this research.
All right, now let's read this. Fauci's truths and half-truths about gain-of-function research. This is The Nation. It's not exactly, you know, they're not big fans of Trump. Dr. Anthony Fauci has served as director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. That's the NIAID since 1984. I'm going to skip around here because it's a long piece. The purpose of gain-of-function research is to combat a future pandemic that nature hasn't found the ingenuity to launch. But the investment also has a potential military use to sicken and kill enemies in large numbers. And criticism of this experimental subculture has come largely from scientists themselves. This author goes on to point out, this is David Bromwich, some of the scientists that have pushed back on gain-of-function research. Fauci's early and insistent claim that COVID-19 came from nature was abetted by a friendly subterfuge, Dr. Peter Daszak. Remember that name. He organized a letter on February 19, 2020, signed by 27 public health scientists, which affirmed the pandemic's natural origin. In a February 6 email, Daszak had coordinated with Barrick to keep his name off the public letter so as not to arouse a well-founded suspicion of a conflict of interest. So basically, the guy saying that this came from nature, this is not man-made, also told them, by the way, don't put my name on this, because then people are going to know that, you know, this isn't on the level. This gave Fauci a breathing space of several months during which his reputation rose steadily. And then it goes into his exchange with Rand Paul. Further into his exchange with Rand Paul, Fauci offered some reassuring words. Dr. Barrick is not doing gain-of-function research. And if it is according to the guidelines, and it is being conducted in North Carolina. Well, is he or isn't he? Because if he is doing that research, who would know better than Fauci? Again, going to skip forward a little bit here. Several Wuhan lab researchers had been suddenly hospitalized in November 2019 with an illness reported to be influenza. His advocacy of gain-of-function research may have begun with his support for alleviation of the AIDS epidemic, but it got a considerable boost from his service as George W. Bush's bioterror czar. He showed a keen interest in strengthening the human immune response to pathogens, such as those that cause anthrax and plague. A few years into the Obama administration, one could still encounter Fauci. In a 2011 Washington Post op-ed co-signed by Francis Collins, director of the NIH, and the virologist Gary Nabel, arguing that the benefits of engineered viruses made it a risk worth taking. That's what Rand Paul was just discussing. Nor did he let up under Trump. At an NIAID conference in 2018, Fauci celebrated the lifting of the pause on such research. With government in upstream control of funding, guidance, and publications, what could go wrong? Now, here's the key part of this. Many in the scientific community now suggest that a lab leak origin of COVID-19 is a likelier scenario than a natural one. The virus seems too perfect. It drills into human tissue so neatly, and no intervening adaptations have found in nature. Anthony Fauci may be remembered in the end as a warning more than an exemplar. An adventurous bureaucrat in the field of scientific research who became a hero in his own eyes. The trouble begins when such a person asks for our implicit trust in return for his good intentions. That's absolutely true. A lot of the decisions Fauci made, it was because he had the arrogance to assume he knew what was best for people. And when you consider it, like Stephen Miller was writing about today, that this is a guy who could be, again, I'll use Rand Paul's way of saying it. He could be covering something up. I'm not saying he is. Then his defensiveness really starts to make sense. Anthony, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Anthony.
Grace, my in-laws are Chinese from the very beginning. They said it came from the lab. Not that it was malicious that the Chinese did it, but they said it did come from the lab. They said this at the beginning. So for what it's worth. But maybe Bill de Blasio should have listened to, remember Dr. Robert Redfield? I think you played the cut too. When he said, this thing, the mask, it's more important than the vaccine. Because Trump was putting the vaccine out. So remember how they were saying how they trust the vaccine, trust the mask? Now all of a sudden, the vaccine is gold. And for the record, Massachusetts is fourth in increasing cases, the breakthrough cases. So the vaccine's not working. And we're one of the highest in deaths and breakthroughs. And you know why people are dying here? Because in the nursing homes, if you Google nursing homes, a lot of nursing home staff all over the country are refusing to get the vaccine.
Hold on, Anthony. I do want to say this. I have been checking on the, because I don't want to panic people. I think that our vaccine rates right now are, I know that doubly vaccinated, I think it's in the 60s, like fully vaccinated is in the 60s, 60th percentile. But one dose is in the 70s. I think we have a very high vaccination rate, and I do think it's working. Our deaths are a lot lower than they were. I don't want to look back and say that I was disparaging this vaccine. I think it's a great thing. I think it lessens your chance if you do get the virus. It's a lot less lethal. I think Operation Warp Speed, I say this once a day because I'm so proud of President Trump and Operation Warp Speed, and I don't want the record to show anything but that. I think it's great. If you have comorbidities, if you're older, if you're scared of the virus, I think it's a great thing. What I will say, though, is you're right about the masks. The masks at one point were the best thing that could ever happen to us. They were our saving grace. Joe Biden used to hold it up. He'd find it in his pocket. He'd hold it up and he'd say, this could save 400 billion, thousand, million, trillion lives if people would just wear this. And now, like you said, de Blasio calls it a sideshow. But just to get back here to Stephen Miller's thread, he says they will not press him on any of this. He's referring to Dr. Fauci, because even they know where this possibly goes. Science and biology cannot be to blame for this. That's Fauci's starting point. We're the good guys. We're only trying to help. This is why what Jon Stewart said resonated. Oftentimes, these guys are not the good guys, well-intentioned or not. Fauci will defend his life's work like a rabid Wolverine, because that's what true believers do. That's what Marshall and Paul brought out of him this week. If you commit to this kind of research and you cure cancer, you're a genius. If you kill 4 million people with it, you should be regarded as a monster. That's Fauci's dilemma and what he's fighting off every day, and more he's looking like the monster. Fauci and others like him, Collins at NIH, Peter Daszak, are going to continue this kind of work in places like China because of the money that flows between them. Nothing will be learned. China is going to get away with this in the rest of our lives. And this is the rest of our lives now. Good night. That was from Stephen Miller. I can't verify it. I don't know if it's all true, but it's worth asking questions about. That's what I can say. And I'm not afraid to say that. It's not popular now to ask questions. No one has any curiosity. But I think it's worth looking into. Why is Fauci getting so defensive? Last time I checked, when Donald Trump got defensive, when Brett Kavanaugh got defensive, when Mike Pompeo got defensive, when Kayleigh McEnany got defensive, when Kellyanne Conway got defensive, you know why they got defensive? It's because they were hiding something. What do you have to hide? Why are you getting so angry? Now we've got this little Tony Fauci screaming at a United States senator, pointing his fingers like he's Mick Jagger at the guy, calling him a liar. And that's not a little strange to anyone? He's very nice to Olivia Rodrigo when he's reading nice tweets about himself or when his face is being put on pillows. He's not so nice to Rand Paul. I think it's worth noting. All right, duly noted.
The Fauci ouchie.
All right, we will be back for the car crossover with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Today's car crossover is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. Go to Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Howie trusted Perfect Smiles with his smile. Show him your smile, Howie. And so did the mailroom manager. Go to PerfectSmiles.com. All right, Howie Carr, thank you for joining the show.
My pleasure.
Now, you have some VIPs. They came in a little bit early, and we've been talking about Joe Biden's town hall last night. And if you don't mind, I want to play some of this sound just so I can see people's reactions. Because I was describing some of the VIPs said, I couldn't believe what I heard last night. I thought I was losing my mind. So let's play a couple of the cuts we weren't
able
to get.
Someone was losing his mind, but it wasn't any of us.
No, exactly. It wasn't you. Let's play. This is Joe Biden on inflation, inflation, inflation. This is cut 11.
Look, here's the deal. Moody's today, when our Wall Street firm, not some liberal think tank, said if we pass the other two things I'm trying to get done, we will, in fact, reduce inflation. Reduce inflation. Reduce inflation. Because we're going to be providing good opportunities and jobs for people who, in fact, are going to be reinvesting that money back in all the things we're talking about. Driving down prices, not raising prices. And so I sincerely mean this. Prices are up now, and they're up. For example, you're in a position where you're trying to build a house. Try to find 2x4s and lumber.
Does he think it's like Beetlejuice, where if he says reduce inflation 3 times, it will actually start going down?
Well, you didn't even get the. I think the worst part of that cut is when he says, you were paying 10. Cents, I guess he means. Now you're paying 20. So, like, that's not a big deal? Does he not understand that if you're paying 10 cents and it goes up to 20 cents, that's 100% inflation?
Yeah, so you sell another painting for $500,000 and you make it up. It's not that big a deal. It's not the end of the world. Write a book, you know? Learn to code.
That's true. Get a job as on a board of a country you've never been to whose language you don't speak.
Oh, also, I would
like...
For
$83,000 a month.
If we have time, I'd like to play this one last one. Cut 13, please, Jared.
It is.
If it's a relic of Jim Crow, it's been used to fight against civil rights legislation historically. Why protect it?
There's no reason to protect it other than you're going to throw the entire Congress into chaos and nothing will get done.
All right.
Nothing at all will get done. Mm. And there's a lot at stake. The most important one is the right to vote. That's the single most important one. And your vote counted. And count it by someone who honestly counts it. But it goes beyond that. For example, wouldn't my friends on the other side love to have a debate about the filibuster instead of passing the Recovery Act? Or wouldn't they love doing it instead of being in a position where we provide for... How many of you have children?
All right. I think that does it for me. Howie's coming up next with more of this. I'm Grace, and this is The Grace Curley Show.